Welcome to this episode of the Public Circle Podcast. My name's Adam Olson. I'm the member of the British Columbia Legislative Assembly for Saanich North and the Islands. After meeting so many people, each with their own story, I decided to invite them to share their story in this podcast. It's an introduction to an assortment of various people doing cool stuff. After completing the fifth episode, it's seemingly become part of my routine. For the most part, I simply record a meeting I would have had anyway. So what I'm trying to say is that I'll probably be able to get through a season and stick with publishing on Sunday mornings. Please invite a friend or a neighbor who may add these conversations to their podcast libraries. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or subscribe to my blog at adamolsonmla.ca. In this episode, I meet up with Paul Smith. Paul is the general manager of Titan Boats. Our visit started with a tour of their production facility in North Saanich, and after that, we met back in the constituency office to chat about the company. Here's my conversation with Paul Smith. I'm here with Paul Smith, general manager of Titan Boats, based out of the Sydney North Saanich Industrial Park. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
We just had the opportunity to tour around Titan. I'm very thankful for the opportunity and for the time that you spent to show me around. Just wondering if you could tell me a little bit about how you got started with Titan and your history with the company.
Well, I started back in 1998 with John. He was working out of one shop over on I forget the name of the street actually, but it was a one bay shop, and he was needing a hand. So when he moved over to Malview Avenue, he really needed some assistance. So I started off helping out, and from there it's turned out to be kind of a full-time job. And it's been a real pleasure in working with the and learning more about the boats and seeing the different clientele.
So maybe you could explain what kind of boats it is that Titan, just maybe a verbal description of the kind of product that Titan Boats manufactures in the Sydney North Saanich Industrial Park.
Sure, it's Titan is a rigid hull inflatable boat. RIB or RIB, we call it for short. And these are aluminum hulled. Basically, everything's aluminum on them except for the tubes, which are neoprene hypalon, or they could be a polyurethane type of tube. But the boats are the smallest that we make are 17 feet, and we'll go up to biggest would be about 45 to 50 feet. They are used primarily for patrol and enforcement for different agencies around the world, and mostly in Canada for police forces, RCMP, provincial forces, and Department of Fisheries, Environment Canada, RCMP SAR, Search and Rescue, Environment Canada, Customs Canada, which is CBSA, Canadian Border Services, and we also have boats overseas. But it is a platform that can be an open boat. It can have a console, a T-top, or it can be a cabin boat. They can have outboard motors, or they can have inboard motors. They can be gas, diesel, and or jet vessels.
So you have a common, or a standard or stock platform that you can build off of, and your customers can, in the tour we saw boats ranging in various customizations from just what was a standard, what you call the Raptor, which was one of the boats that you manufacture on one side for one purpose, and then a boat that was modified to be a dive boat, similar boat off the same platform. So Maybe talk about the process that a customer goes through with you in terms of taking one of your stock platforms and making it what they need it to be.
You're right. We do have this stock platforms, and we probably have about 10 different models that we use. And when we say a stock platform, that would be basically the hull length and size width. From the decks on up, it can then be a custom boat. And what is important to us is learning what the client is going to use the boat for, where they're going to use the boat for, and what kind of water and conditions. And then looking at what they need on the boat to perform their different task. Different enforcement agencies have different requirements. So once they identify that, and then we start putting the package together. And the problems that we run into with that right now is that we have technology advancing so fast today that we haven't changed the platform, but there people are wanting more and more things on the same platform. And we're starting to run out of room on some of these vessels. But what's important is we build to suit the customer's needs. It's not just a boat or a rigid hull inflatable that is coming off a production line and saying, here it is. We say, well, what do you want it for? Where are you going to use it? And then we can advise them on some different options.
So one of the things that became very clear when we got on site at your manufacturing site was it's very clear that Titan has grown, and what started maybe as you pointed out in a basement somewhere moved a couple of times to where you are currently located.
Yes,
and maybe started in one manufacturing space that became two, became three. You've got an alley, a road that goes right between down the middle of your site. So maybe talk about that growth of the company, where it started and how it's expanded over the years that you've been with it.
Well, John Stanner's the owner of Titan Boats started off in his garage basement. And then moved to a single bay shop, and then from there to another single bay shop on Malibu. It was at that time John was doing whale watch tour boats, and then we were able to secure a contract with the federal government for some police boats, and that was the big first step for advancing. And so we had to acquire a second shop, which was next door. And then the property across the lane from us became available, and we secured that as more orders, government orders, we were becoming successful with. And further down the road, we acquired another bigger fabrication shop across another alley, so to speak. So we're kind of spread out. Right now we have three bays in one building. We have one large building. We have another building which we use as a paint tent. And then we have another kind of outfitting bay with offices upstairs. And we are starting to run out of space for yard and also for manufacturing.
Yeah, it's really quite a fascinating story. And in fact, when we got there, we could see actually, as you described it by words, we could see how the company has grown, and in fact, how the company is in a situation where the current situation is too small for where you're at. One of the aspects of this, and it's very compartmentalized when you're on site, but you can see the various progressions that one of your products goes through in the production line. It's not a linear line by any means on site. Maybe perhaps one day it will be, but let's talk about the manufacturing process And when we first got on site, we walked into the wrong office, and there was, I think, three guys behind computer screens, and I think that they were at the design stage. So, and then we went into another space which had cutting machines and the fabrication part of it, welding. So maybe walk through a boat is in the mind of the customer. And what is the process that it goes through? And I guess what I'm trying to illustrate here is the technical capacity of a company like Titan, what it requires in terms of a wide variety of jobs, a wide variety of expertises. So maybe we can walk through that process.
Certainly. Today is the electronic age. It's the computer age, and so when an RFP or a request for a proposal comes out, we take a look at it. We take a look at our models and look at what they're asking for and what model's going to fit in. Then what we need to do is it kind of splits off there. And one portion goes to, like you say, the office with three people that you went into, where they would start doing drawing packages for the specifics that are being asked for. And the other split would come upstairs to our sales department, and they would start costing it. Once that's costed and the drawings are all done, one of the people that does an awful lot of drawings as well, not on site, but is John's father, Robert Stanners. Once we have that package, and if we are successful in it and it meets the client's needs, then another series of events starts, and that is we have to timeline this, and we plot it out. It goes to purchasing, and purchasing starts a procedure for ordering different parts. Some items may take up to 14, 15 weeks once you place the order in for you to get. So you have to be mindful of the timeline. In the meantime, through the computer systems and that, work orders are start putting together for this particular build. And not only are work orders, but then there's another part that starts putting together the quality control aspects that are needed for this. All of the people, once that is done, and it will go to the fabrication shop, the computer people have sent out the plans, the drawings to the water cutting table. That then will be, which is in the fab shop, then they start putting that together. All of the people that work on those boats in the fab shop are all certified CWB welders, and all procedures are certified as well. So there's quite a process of putting things together. And one of the big things is thinking way ahead as to what is going to go into the boat and where is it going to be. So what a lot of people very seldom ever see is what's below deck. And there is a tremendous amount of items, electrical and things below deck. Once it comes out of the fabrication shop, it would then go over into paint if the boat is going to be painted. And from paint, it would then go into the outfitting or the rigging shop. And again, we have people now that are doing wiring, outfitting. They too need to be certified, and we have people certified to ABYC standards for electrical components. The average time, depending on the complexity of the boat, will be approximately the better part of a month into outfitting and rigging, and it might even go closer to 2 months, again, depending on the complexity that's being asked for. So from the time that the purchase order is received till the time the boat goes out of the door, finished to the client, will be anywhere from 3 weeks to, or I'm sorry, 3 months to 4 months. And while some others will maybe take a little bit longer, like you Today saw a brand new Type 2 RCM SAR search and rescue boat for Masset, and that has taken a lot longer in putting it together. So at each section that it goes through, there's standards that must be followed, Transport Canada standards. There's other standards as far as ABYC and sometimes international, the European Union CE standards that we have to look at as well. And then there's the quality checks and inspections along the way at each step. And those are maintained. Once it's all done, the boat is splashed or put in the water, so to speak, and we do a sea trial on it. Once our sea trial, the company sea trial, is completed, it then the client will come and do a sea trial, which basically is also an acceptance trial. Does it meet the speed? Does it handle the way they wanted it to? And this type of thing. So after about, as I say, 3 months, 3.5 months on average, the boat is done and off to the client.
So when you're dealing with the type of clients that you're dealing with, when you're dealing with government clients, it's a highly competitive process. You're going to be in there's only a certain number of companies that do the rib boats that you're talking, that Titan manufactures. But you're in competition with other companies across the country, I imagine, probably maybe even internationally as well. But they also have quite high, as you're talking about, have quite high standards when you're dealing with RCMP or customs or, you know, any of these government agencies. I guess you begin to develop a relationship with them and they know what to expect. The quality of the product that we saw being constructed is so high. It's such a high quality product. And you just look at it and you can see the quality. I've also had the benefit. I was telling Jojo that I had the benefit of going on to one of your crafts in the Saanich Inlet, and they're a lot of fun to be on. Very fast, very comfortable to be on, and on one of those SAR boats. So maybe talk a little bit about the company profile. The quality product that you make is put together by certified people. How many do you have? Where do they come from? Where do they live? You know, that kind of the profile.
We have, right now, we are at 34 staff. And the staff are, there's a handful of office staff. We have a number of fabricators. We have a number of outfitters and riggers. And we have a number of a couple of people that do painting and deck work, this type of thing. You're right. The company is known for its quality and the workmanship. We've had praises from our competitors on the workmanship, which was really nice of them to say. Interesting, as much as that we stand behind the product, and you know, basically we will give them a lifetime warranty on the hull and on the workmanship, if the boat is, of course, used in a normal fashion. The problem with the clients that we have, it's not really a problem. These are top people, but they're either patrol, enforcement, search and rescue, this type of thing. And they drive the boats hard, very hard. And sometimes they have to put the boats in a very precarious type of situation. They have to put them on a rock or up against rocks to extricate people from different, either a ledge or whatever the case. We do a lot of aftermarket work with our clients. I've been sitting in the office. I'm kind of an early riser, and 5:30 in the morning in the office, and the phone goes, and it's the RCMP from actually they were out in the Bay of Fundy, and they had an alarm going off, and they didn't know what it was. And we were able to identify it, not right then, but within a few minutes, we were able to identify that it was, they were sitting together, two boats rafting that's tied together, and they were chatting, and the motors were going, and the exhaust, the wind was blowing the exhaust in the cabin and set off carbon monoxide detector. Little things like that that we do, and we help the people out as much as we can. When a boat comes back to us often, John does little things that just to tweak it and put it up a notch better, type of thing. So it's kind of obviously client base driven, but we stand behind the product and we work with the clients, not just during the sale of the boat, but for years afterwards. And we have people coming back to us. We have two boats that we built 10 years ago for LA County Sheriffs. They are now just arrived back at our shop here 2 weeks ago for a complete refit. We go and help. We've got people that will be going to Sylvania to help do a modification to a boat, to two boats actually over there. So it's what we call a Titan family, and it takes all of us to work together to provide the service that we provide to our customers.
Part of the Titan family is the other businesses in the neighborhood, and the relationships within the business, let's call it a business park, industrial park. I often talk about the Saanich Peninsula and the economic impact that the manufacturing sector has in on the Saanich Peninsula for the Capital Region, and note that Titan works pretty closely with the neighboring companies in order to provide this top quality product. There's also other top quality companies right in your neighborhood. So maybe a little bit on the relationships that you have with the companies around.
You're right. The Saanich Peninsula has, and especially over in the area that we're in, can be very surprising as to the companies that are there and the product that they make that are being and going to all corners of the world, actually. It's very eye-opening, very surprising. We work very closely with Procom and their shockwave division with doing shock mitigating seats that we put in the boat so that these people that are out in rough water and taking a pounding, I think you experienced some of that on your trip out, but that to prevent back injuries and that. And I know that Shockwave is very proactive in producing a product and keep advancing their product. It's not something that was built 5 years ago and is still the same product. It's far, far different. We work very closely with them back and forth, and we use purchase a lot of their product. Another local company that we work very closely with is Access Technologies, and they we work on different doing a lot of fabrication for them on different models of buoys that are used offshore for collecting data and information. And another one that is that we use quite a bit too is just down the street, and it's sandblasting. And you know, sandblasting is very environmentally controlled because the stuff that you're taking off of something, is it a hazard, and it must all be collected. So when we're doing refits and that, we'll get vessels sandblasted. we've done some work for other companies around there. A lot of our water cutting is done. VRX, the simulators right across from our shop. We do a lot of work with them. And there's others. I mean, we don't just do boats. We do aluminum fabrication as well. And so it might be a walkway, a gangway. It might be a fence, aluminum rails or something like that. But in the area of where we are, tremendous amount of small business that is worldwide in its distributing of product.
Yeah. So just as we're wrapping up here, one of the things that I think was important about the conversation that we had back in your shop was right at the very end where we talked about the challenges that the business have. And, you know, as the MLA for Saanich North and the Islands, it's easy for me to stand up and cheerlead the businesses and the entrepreneurs and, as I talk, the change makers, the people who make the investments, like John, in the business, who front-end a lot of the weight. One of my roles, the primary role that I have, is not just cheerleading this, but as well recognizing the challenges that government often puts in front of business in order to do what we need to do in government, but as well the challenges that we make. So you were very clear on in three areas, or in a couple of areas at least, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to say those, because I think that it's important in my advocacy that we're airing this out and talking about the challenges that the business owners, or at least your business, won't speak for the rest of them. They do a very good job of speaking for themselves, but maybe just give some air for that.
Thank you. You're right. There are really three things that that affect us, and one is housing, low cost housing for workers. These are young people. They're trying to raise a family and that. And we have people that commute daily from Duncan, from Mill Bay, and from points west in the western communities. And it's difficult for them. I know that it's difficult for them. And we try and work with them as much as we can. The other item is basically the lack of training opportunities for these skilled, to get these skilled workers. And we need more training for fabricators, for welders. Yes, you can go to Camosun College and you get a welding, and people will come to us and say, well, I've got this, I went through Camosun and I've got this welding ticket. But the welding is a very basic. We need things that are a little bit more advanced and different procedures. And I guess because we are also in a competitive market, very competitive with others, is one of the things that has really impacted our small business, our company, has been the tax, the health tax that has come forward. And like I said, that because we are in this competitive, we're competing with people all across Canada, in some cases in the U.S., but we need the health tax has really impacted the company, and we have to be very mindful of that.
Well, I'm very mindful of it, reminded about it, yeah. Mindful of it, but it's important to give air to it. We have to face the decisions that we make, and we have to face them head on. So I appreciate you coming in, opening your doors, and you coming in to my office and having this conversation and recording it. And I look forward to watching Titan grow and continue to produce a very high-quality product. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure to have you come over and go through the facility and to spend time with you today.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Public Circle Podcast. I'm Adam Olson, member of the British Columbia Legislative Assembly for Saanich North and the Islands. For more information about Titan Boats, visit titanboats.com or check out the show notes for this episode. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and subscribe to the Public Circle Podcast in all the places that you can listen to podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and more. If you have any comments or questions, please email me at adam.olson.mla@leg.bc.ca. Finally, I blog every day about my experience as an MLA. I invite you to visit my blog at adamolsonmla.ca. So, until next time, hi, Aequa.